to a Six String Hayride podcast, a journey through the world of classic country music with your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. We will be covering all of the great topics in country music, from mama to prison, to dancing, to drinking, to guitar picking, to all the crazy deal with the devil, honky-tonking stuff you do on Saturday night, and how you try to get it past your Lord on Sunday morning. So climb aboard the cart and let's go.
Rock and roll's most influential guitar players.
Hello, and welcome to the Six String Hayride podcast with Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Keith Richards.
Guilty, Your Honor.
The offender had no idea what he was making for the man that really knows how to play the Telecaster. And JB, Mr. James Burton.
With his unmistakable string-bending style, James Burton is one of rock and roll's most influential guitar players. The Louisiana native grabbed attention the first time he ever recorded on Dale Hawkins' Susie Q. When he joined Ricky Nelson's band, Burton inspired thousands of young guitar players. Burton played with a who's who of country and rock artists, Joni Mitchell to Graham Parsons, Buffalo Springfield to Merle Haggard, then he moved on to the King himself. From Elvis Presley to Elvis Costello, James Burton is the original guitar man.
You don't really know his name, but you have seen him, you have heard him. He is all over a ton of great records, rockabilly, country, straight rock and roll. So let's try to put a little bit of a story to the sound you've been hearing. And, you know, the next time you hear the man, you'll be like, oh, hey, that's James Burton. Again, like Scotty Moore and like Steve Cropper from Stax Records, Burton is one of those guys that you think of immediately. If you are a singer, you need to put together a band to go out and play and perform for the people that are buying your records. And in country and in rock music, it's usually a guitar player. James Burton is born August 21st, 1939 in Dubberly, Louisiana, which is in the Webster Parish area. Most of his childhood is spent in Shreveport. James Burton is a member of the Rockabilly Hall of Fame. In 2001, Keith Richards gives a wonderful induction speech welcoming James Burton into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Mr. Burton is among the most recent class, 2024, inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. He has a fairly uneventful childhood as far as musicians and certainly country musicians go. There's not a lot of tragedy. Both of his parents lived to be past 90 years old. There's not a lot of wealth and luxury, but in terms of health and happiness and your parents being able to watch you have a successful career and play with people like Elvis and John Denver and Keith Richards and Ricky Nelson, that's pretty cool. James Burton is one of those guys that is in a really unique school of guitar players where he is one of those Telecaster guys. Master of the Telecaster is a phrase that gets kicked around a lot talking about these folks. This is going to include people like Don Rich and Buck Owens. Of course, a big favorite for Chris and I, and a huge influence on our own sense of music, Keith Richards. Almost always seen with the Telecaster in hand. In more recent, years in rock music, you see Bruce Springsteen with one, and pretty much that same one, that blonde Telecaster with the black pickguard. That's become pretty iconic for Bruce. In blues music, we have the great Albert Collins. In blues and soul music, we get the great Steve Cropper from Stax Records. It's a pretty unique group. We even get, for a couple years at the end of the 60s, George Harrison with that custom-made Rosewood Telecaster. If you go back a few episodes, early on in the Hayride podcast, we did do a Telecaster episode. Pretty good. If you'd like it, go back, check it out.
A couple of other Telecaster players worth mentioning. Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. And someone else who we absolutely should throw a little bit of props to is Junior Brown. Let's not forget that the Git half of the Git Steel is a Telecaster neck. Of course, we've reviewed Junior Brown's performances on this show, and we got a lot of mad love and respect for the guy.
Cause you're wanted by the police, and my wife thinks you're dead.
James Burton's role in this rare group of Telecaster guys, these just brilliant guitar players that I've mentioned, this culminates in 1991 when Fender Guitars issues the James Burton Telecaster. It is based on that famous 1969 Pink Paisley Telecaster that you readily associate with James Burton. I mean, that you don't really see anyone else with a pink Paisley guitar. It's a cool looking thing. And
thank you.
model Telecaster from 1991 is based on this 1969 model. It is updated with lace sensor single coil pickups. A lace sensor is very similar to your standard Fender single coils that are in the Telecaster and in the Stratocaster. The main difference here is that the lace sensors are surrounded by a little metal barrier that's designed to reduce the magnetic interference from other parts of the setup. And this is something that Fender uses in some of their more custom models. It is one of the key differences in that James Burton Telecaster. In terms of how Burton actually approaches the guitar, he does play with a pick, just a regular flat pick, but he uses a finger pick on his middle finger. So it's kind of a weird hybrid between the Maybelle Carter and Ted Atkins, you know, finger picking and what would be called the Carter scratch, because he's playing with a traditional flat pick, but he's got a little bit of finger picking action going with a finger pick on the middle finger. And, you know, if you ever think you're hearing two different guitar parts and it looks like it's the same guy, that goes all the way back to that Maybelle Carter school of guitar playing. And then it passes to Chet Atkins, and then it passes to a hell of a lot of great players. James Burton is one of them. Burton gets his professional start in terms of, you know, a recording career and partnering with singers and band leaders in 1957. Burton is the guy responsible for one of those early rockabilly classics, the song Susie Q. Dale Hawkins is the guy who originally, you know, sings it and it's the record. James Burton is the guitar player on that. That riff, that cool, groovy, classic riff, that's all James Burton. Susie Q goes on to become a favorite of garage bands everywhere. '60s Creedence Clearwater Revival has one of their early hits with it. James Burton's work with Dale Hawkins allows him to meet and start to work with, and this is the big break in Burton's career, with Diet Elvis or Elvis Light or Dollar Store Elvis, whatever you want to call him, Ricky Nelson. Ricky Nelson, you know, in the time when you have Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, Little Richard, there is a little bit of a push by the entertainment industry to get some safe white guys out there. Now, remember that radio and record sales are still divided at this point. There's pop records and there's what's still called race or rhythm and blues records. And we get Fabian, we get Pat Boone, and we get Ricky Nelson during this time, who's a good-looking kid with a decent enough singing voice. Nelson's entry into the music business and the recording contract is that his parents are Ozzie and Harriet Nelson of radio and television fame throughout the 1950s. The other overlap here with Elvis, because we know where James Burton is going to wind up by the end of the 60s, Ricky Nelson also does work at various times with backup singers, the Jordanaires, and with guitar legend Scotty Moore. James Burton's first big hit with Ricky Nelson is called Believe What You Say.
I believe what you say when you say you're going steady with nobody else but me. I believe what you say when you say you don't kiss nobody else but me. I believe, do believe, I believe, yeah, believe pretty baby. Believe you're going steady with nobody else but me. Well, there's a one thing, baby, that I want you to know. When you're rocking with me, don't rock too slow. Move on and get toe-to-toe. We're gonna rock till we can't rock no more. I believe, do believe, I believe. Yeah, believe, pretty baby. Believe you're going steady with nobody else but me. Well, let's dig it now.
So something I didn't realize is that the first hit was Believe What You Say for Ricky Nelson with James Burton. And what's interesting is that's also the first track where Burton takes over lead guitar duties. Joe Mafis had been playing lead. So the first several sessions that you have Burton playing with Ricky Nelson's band, you have Burton on rhythm. So they switch Burton to lead and hey, they have a hit.
Other notable tracks by Nelson that with huge contributions from James Burton.
She's a gal for me. She got plenty of rhythm, got plenty of jive. And when we dance, I really come alive. My love for her so tender and sweet. My heart starts pounding every time we meet. My bebop baby, still in her teens, just as sweet as she can be. A bebop baby in her old blue jeans. It's a bebop baby for me. A bebop baby for me. Sweet Fräulein down in Berlin town makes my heart start to yearn. And my China doll down in old Hong Kong waits for my return. Pretty Polynesian baby over the sea, I remember the night when we walked in the sand of Waikiki and I held you oh so tight. Mary Lou, goodbye heart, sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou, we never part, so hello Mary Lou, goodbye heart. Your lips, I heard your voice. Believe me, I just had no choice. Wild horses couldn't make me stay away.
In 1965, Burton gets a job as part of the house band on a TV show called Shindig, which is sort of an American Bandstand type show that was popular in the mid-60s. And it's here where he meets Keith Richards and they develop a lifelong friendship. Telecaster guys. Equal amounts of love for rockabilly, country, and rock and roll.
Let me put it this way. You want to buy... I never bought a Ricky Nelson record. I bought a James Burton record. And one of the best guitars in the world, Leo Fender, had no idea what he was making for the man that really knows how to play the Telecaster.
Burton is, you know, he's that guitar player that you call when you need to assemble a band. From 1969 until Elvis passes away in 1977, it's James Burton who is leading Elvis's live touring band.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the members of my group. My lead guitar is James Burton. It's all right. That's all right now.
It gets even better, folks. Around 1975, 1976, based on a meeting and some recording sessions for Grievous Angel that James Burton did with Gram Parsons, he meets Emmylou Harris.
Can be forgiven if you think James Burton was born with a guitar in his hands. The first hit record he played on was Susie Q by Dale Hawkins.
Oh, Susie Q, I love you, my Susie Q.
Joining Bob Luman's band led to an appearance in the teen movie Carnival Rock. While working with Luman, Burton met Ricky Nelson and was asked to join Ricky's band, meaning he would play on Nelson's hit recordings and appear on the Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet TV show, seen weekly in millions of homes across the country. Burton's innovative solos became very popular, achieved by bending strings and crafty licks. Burton replaced some of his guitar strings with banjo strings in order to facilitate bending, which led to Ernie Ball's creation of his unique and successful Slinky guitar strings. Burton became a skilled session musician and member of Hollywood's Wrecking Crew, playing on recordings by a wide range of artists. In 1965, he joined the house band on Shindig, running for two seasons on ABC TV. In 1969, Burton became the leader of Elvis Presley's backing band, playing lead guitar in concerts and on recordings until Presley's death. In 1987, he was part of an all-star band for Roy Orbison's Black and White Night concert. By then, Burton had influenced generations of guitar players. After years of constant recording and touring, Burton was able to give back to his community through music education and by supplying instruments to children through the James Burton Foundation, fittingly located across the street from Shreveport's Municipal Auditorium, where Burton started his career 70 years ago on the Louisiana Hayride. Family man, side man, innovator, influencer, inspirational picker. James Burton has remained one of the most recognizable guitar players in the world. He will now be recognized as a member of the Country Music Hall of
2010, Fame. Chris and I get very lucky and see James Burton perform with Sheryl Crow, Albert Lee, and Eric Clapton at one of those big Crossroads guitar festivals that Clapton had here in the Chicago suburbs. We, here at the Hayride, we did get to see Burton perform quite a bit on a very hot summer day back in 2010. And you know it's him because from 50 miles away, I mean, you can see that pink paisley Telecaster.
It's a really interesting memory because there were so many high-class, legendarily talented guitar players on stage that day. It's easy to forget how many people. We see John McLaughlin. We see Sonny Landreth. You have B.B. King, Robert Cray, Hubert Sumlin. Like, this is just, and I could keep doing this for like 15 minutes and I might not run out of names. It was just an incredible day of music. So if Clapton ever does another one of those Crossroads festivals, folks, go. Because not only are you going to see who you think you're going to see, you're also going to see a lot of people that weren't announced in advance that are going to blow your mind. Just about the best piece of guitar playing we saw all day came from a non-primarily guitar player. Steve Winwood played a face-melting solo in Dear Mr. Fantasy on the Strat, and you just, it was majestic.
And we can have Vince Gill, Albert Lee, David Hidalgo, and Cesar Rojas from Los Lobos, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, the favorite guitar player of Jesus Christ himself, Jeff Beck. And Jeff Beck is actually the guy that taught Jesus how to play guitar. And again, Steve Winwood, who's known as a great singer and a great keyboard player, just tore up the guitar so well that Eric Clapton really didn't even need to show up. He could have been backstage making beignets for everybody and just being the host. Derek Trucks from the Allman Brothers and the Tedeschi Trucks Band was in Clapton's band at that time. It was an extraordinary day of music, and for a good cause. Crossroads is a foundation, a charitable foundation for drug and alcohol rehab. And wow. And to see Jeff Beck and Eric Clapton play together for a couple tunes, we're getting a little away from country music here, but holy, just fantastic. The message here is that whenever you have a chance to go out and see some live music, whether it's an open mic night or a huge legendary guitar festival, go, because when you are dead, you're not going to be worried about, oh, I shouldn't spend money on concert tickets. You're going to have an amazing story to take into the afterlife. Go see live music everywhere you can.
Okay, folks, let's get back to talking about the master of the Telecaster, James Burton himself. In 1975, while still leading the TCB band, Burton becomes one of the first members of Emmylou Harris's Hot Band. He does bow out of that and go back to working with Elvis when Elvis resumes shows. However, he's all over the early Emmylou records. He winds up playing on 8 of her first 9 albums. Shortly before Elvis's death in 1977, Burton plays on a television special with John Denver, much to the dismay of Jim O'Malley. Denver asked Burton if he would consider going on a European tour, but Burton advises him that he's committed to the Elvis gig. Shortly after, however, upon the death of Presley, Burton begins a collaboration with Denver, starting with the album I Want to Live.
West Texas Cowboys all over town, with gold and silver, they're loaded down. Just in for Roundup, you know it seems a shame. And so my uncle starts a friendly game. Hello, Jack, the winner takes a game. From the beginning, Uncle started to win. Them Texas cowboys, they was mad as sin. Some said he's cheating. Oh, but that can't be, because my uncle, well, he's as honest as me. I'm about as honest as a Denver man can be. One of them cowboys, you know, we started to draw. I grabbed a bottle, slapped him on the jaw. I had to shoot another, now he won't grow old. In the confusion, my uncle grabbed the gold. We hightailed it down to Mexico. Mexico, way down to Mexico.
So the question is asked, you have won 7 country music awards for your guitar playing, and Emmylou Harris says of you, James Burton is a true poet. What is the piece of work that you're most proud of? And he says, gee, that's a tough one for me. I love it all. I still love playing and playing guitar licks that knocked me out. It's so hard to pick one particular thing, although I was very honored to be Elvis's lead guitar player for 9 years, and I was very blessed to have played with Elvis. He was such a wonderful guy.
Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. Down at the end of Lonely Street, our baby tower. I'm so lonely, baby. I'll be lonely. I'll be so lonely, I could die. Well, although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry in the gloom. Be so lonely, baby. Be so lonely. There, be so lonely. Take a play, Jane.
Hear somebody's music for so long and you don't really know the face or the name or the person. You know, Scotty Moore was a recent example, Steve Cropper, you know, these guitar players. Well, with James Burton, long before I got into people like Jeff Beck or Keith Richards or, you know, a pedal steel guy like Red Rhodes, and I had no idea this was happening, but I've been listening to James Burton since I was around 8 years old. In 1973, when Elvis does the huge satellite TV show Aloha from Hawaii, James Burton is the guitar player in the TCB band, and he's wearing a white jumpsuit and playing a pink paisley guitar. And this was one of the first times where I remembered frantically begging my mom, you know, let me stay up, let me stay up. Elvis is going to do a whole concert on TV. And I got to stay up.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. And the lead guitar is James Burton.
Play it, James.
The other way I was hearing James Burton, and I think a lot of us were as young kids, before working with Mike Nesmith on the Nevada Fighter album in 1971, James Burton, at Nesmith's request, was one of the more used session guys on the early Monkey records, specifically the songs that Nesmith would write and produce. So when you listen to Mary Mary, James Burton. When you listen to Sweet Young Thing, James Burton. When you listen to that very cool country guitar on Papa Jean's Blues, which then becomes Nesmith's signature tune, that's James Burton.
I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me. So take my hand, I'll start my journey, free from all the helpless worry that besets a man when he's alone. More strength is mine when we're together, and with you I know I'll never have to pass the high road for the low. I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me.
Play, Magic Finger. Oh, kick it, loser.
So if you were a young kid and you went through your Monkees phase, you were listening to a lot of James Burton, and now you know. We're talking about a guy who gets established early on playing with Ricky Nelson, and then he winds up working with Elvis later on. Well, Ricky Nelson, in the meantime, has worked with Scotty Moore and the Jordanaires. Big Elvis connection. Burton goes ahead and in the mid-60s plays as a session guy on some of the early Monkees records, winds up playing with Red Rhodes and Mike Nesmith in the early 70s. He does a quick bit with Buffalo Springfield, even though Neil Young and Stephen Stills are there holding down the guitar jobs. He gets introduced to the Byrds and he winds up working with Gram Parsons. And then he establishes a long collaboration with Emmylou Harris and mentors a young Rodney Crowell. He works with John Denver for a number of years, tours the world, and pretty much anywhere you look, country, rockabilly, rock and roll, you're already listening to James Burton somewhere.
Heaven, that's where you are. The darkest night will shine if you come to me soon. Until you will, I'll steal my heart, ha ha, the moon.
He's a guy who's played on a ton of records with a wide variety of people. He has led, you know, in the 70s, two of the great live bands with the Elvis TCB band. Another rabbit hole leap there. The drummer, a guy by the name of Tut, I believe it's Ronnie Tut, winds up playing drums in Jerry Garcia's solo band for a while. You know, and then he winds up leading the Hot Band with Emmylou Harris. He's all over the place. It's the old savoir faire. He's everywhere. That's James Burton, human rabbit hole. This is a guitar player of such talent and such influence that you don't have to look really too far in anything you've already been into as a listener. And that's been James Burton. It's time for a snack.
Snack time!
And in honor of Mr. Burton, who is from Louisiana, we are going to go with some beignets.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
We're getting into summertime here in the Northern Hemisphere. Lots of people are going out to different fairs and festivals, and there is a million different variations on the idea of fried dough with a ton of sugar on it. Our favorite here at the Hayride is beignets, a New Orleans, a Louisiana favorite. We're taking this recipe from a website called Baker by Nature. Beignets are incredibly tasty. Lots of fried dough, lots of sugar. It's basically, according to the website recipe, Baker by Nature, it's square-shaped pieces of fried dough that are sprinkled with sugar. They are best served hot. Before Chris gets into the how we're going to make this thing, there is some basic advice, tips, and tricks that go along with the recipe. You're going to need the ability to deep fry in your kitchen, and you're going to need something that's referred to as a candy thermometer. A candy thermometer runs on average about $10, and you can use it for any deep frying thing. So when it gets cold again and you're going back to your fish fries, use the same thermometer. To proof the yeast mixture, water should be between 110 and 115 degrees Fahrenheit. The recipe requires bread flour. Bread flour is high gluten. It has a tiny amount of barley and a tiny amount of vitamin C. The barley flour helps the yeast to activate. The vitamin C increases the elasticity of the gluten and its ability to retain gas as the dough rises. The dough should be refrigerated for at least 2 hours. You can do it up to 24 hours in advance, but no more than that. So again, the dough does need to be refrigerated at least 2 hours. You should know that the recipe Chris is about to go through is going to make a ton of beignets. So make a pot of tea, make a pot of coffee, do whatever you have to do to get yourself hungry for a ton of sweet treats. Do not skip the sugar. The beignets are kind of plain without it. It's confectioner sugar. It's really, really good. It is kind of messy, but totally worth it. Incredibly tasty treat. Here's Chris to tell you the details of how to make these New Orleans-style beignets.
Thanks, Jim. I'd actually like to piggyback what Jim is saying about the Kerrygold butter. For real, I am not much of a baker myself, but I have had biscuits that have used Kerrygold butter in place of whatever generic American butter you might want to use. They are flakier and tastier and better. And this is me, a Texan by birth, informing y'all, please use Irish butter. First of all, I would like to point out that if anyone goes to the Baker by Nature website that you mentioned that this recipe and those tips and tricks are from, you'll also find all kinds of recipes for like lemon and berry beignets or chocolate-filled beignets. So there are some variations on this, but we're just going to make your life easy and we'll give you the classic recipe. So the prep time for this one, this is going to be one of the more in-depth recipes that we've ever done. Not only with the time it's going to take to make it, to prepare it, but also the fact that you have to let the dough sit for a couple of hours after that's been prepped. So the prep time here is 30 minutes. The cook time is 15 minutes. You'll have 2 hours of dead time where you're just waiting for the dough to set in the fridge. Like Jim mentioned, you can actually make the dough up to 24 hours in advance. So if you're trying to have these ready for a party, maybe just make them the day prior. Ingredients for this one. You're going to need 1.5 cups of warm water between 110 and 115 degrees Fahrenheit. As Jim mentioned earlier, that temperature is very important. You'll need 2/3 of a cup of granulated sugar, 2 1/4 teaspoons active dry yeast, 2 large eggs at room temperature, 1 cup of evaporated milk, 2 1/2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract, 7 cups of bread flour, 1 1/2 teaspoons of salt, 5 tablespoons of unsalted butter at room temperature, 4 cups of peanut oil for deep frying, and 2 cups of confectioner sugar. Now, for listeners who might be preparing this recipe that are not generally bakers, such as myself, I can tell you that over the years, I have learned it is very important when things say at room temperature to let them be at room temperature. Okay, the cooking instructions here. In a medium-sized bowl, add the warm water, sugar, and yeast, and whisk well to combine. Set aside for about 10 minutes or until the mixture has bubbled up and become foamy. In the bowl of a stand mixer fitted with the paddle attachment, beat the eggs until smooth. Beat in the vanilla and evaporated milk. Beat in 3 1/2 cups of the flour until smooth. Turn the mixer to low speed and slowly pour in the yeast mixture. Careful here, this mixture can splash up if added too quickly. Beat until smooth. Now you'll add in the butter and beat until incorporated. Finally, beat in the remaining 3 1/2 cups of flour and the salt. Beat until dough is smooth and cohesive, about 2 minutes. Cover the bowl tightly with plastic wrap and refrigerate the dough for at least 2 hours or as long as 24 hours. Line a rimmed baking sheet with 3 layers of paper towels and set aside. In a large enameled cast iron pan, heat 4 inches of oil to 360 degrees Fahrenheit. Remove the dough from the refrigerator. On a lightly floured surface, roll the dough out into a 1/4 inch thick rectangle. Cut the dough into 2 1/2 inch squares. Cut the dough into 2 1/2 inch squares. In batches, fry the dough until they puff up and are golden brown in color, about 1 minute. Using a slotted spoon, transfer the beignets to the prepared baking sheet and repeat with the remaining dough. Dust with powdered sugar and serve at once. Please don't forget to invite your hayride hosts.
It's outlaw country.
Hate is always foolish. Love is always wise. Always try to be nice, but never fail to be kind.
I can see all the people in this whole wide world. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down, down, down. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down.
And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
I'd like to remind you to email us at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com. Six is spelled out. You can also search us on Facebook as Six String Hayride. Or what we'd really appreciate you doing is finding us on Patreon under Six String Hayride as well.
Well, folks, thanks again for joining your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley, on the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast. We are here for all of your classic country, rockabilly, early rock and roll, little gospel, little blues, a lot of excellent country music-themed recipes, and basically, we are here to keep your musical circle rockin', boppin', and very much unbroken. So thank you for sticking with us. We will see you down the road real soon. And again, whether it's in your home, in your community, wherever it is you do your thing, keep your circle unbroken. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
They're not gonna catch us. We're on a mission from God.
Can the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a bitter awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.